As bad as this hurts, as much as I can't see any resolution, as hard as that person seems against me, God is still on the throne. God is still working out His purposes in my life. Christ did not die for me in vain. And take a deep breath and live for tomorrow.
Chances are you've never heard somebody say, "Wow, I can't wait for the next problem or difficult situation to come up in my life." Yes, bring it on, Lord. Truth be told, we do everything we can to avoid life's difficulties. Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright. Today we continue our series called When Love Hurts. Don brings us the second half of that message and a look at how you can only find refuge from life's trials in our loving and sovereign God. Let's join Don right now in the Truth Pulpit.
Let me just say this. When love hurts, let me just say this about our Lord and remind you of a couple of things about Him. If ever there was a man who provided no legitimate basis for hostility against him, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He committed no sin, nor was there any deceit found in His mouth. There was no legitimate cause in Him for hostility. And yet, in John chapter 7, we read that even His brothers were not believing in Him, His half-brothers. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, with Him intimately for 3 years during His earthly ministry, up and betrayed Him for 30 pieces of silver. Sometimes familiarity brings contempt. Sometimes a prophet has no honor. Scripture says it a little bit differently. Let me get this right. A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. And sometimes it's those closest relationships where the most bitter of hostility and rejection takes place. Well, look, that doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. Because Christ experienced that and He had done nothing wrong. These who rejected Him, His half-brothers, Judas Iscariot, they were up close to Him in all of His majesty and perfection and love and goodness. And at the time, they would have nothing to do with Him. His own family rejected Him. His own nation rejected Him. John chapter 1, verse 11 speaks of this. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. And dear friends, what was our Lord's response to that? What was the inner nature of His own response to unrequited love? Well, look over at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, and with your bruised heart, look into the heart of Christ as He speaks to those that were rejecting Him. He says in verse 34 of Luke 13, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it." He said, "I wanted this, and you refused." Look over at Luke 19. Later on, as He's coming closer and closer to the cross, we read this in verse 41. He says in Luke 19, verse 41, "When He approached Jerusalem, He saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes.'" He wept over the rejection. This was not a matter of cold, calculating indifference to Him. The sovereign plan of God did not insulate Him from the pain of seeing His own people reject Him. He wept over it. And we'll come back to that in a moment. In verse 42, he said, "If you had known this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes." And he goes on to tell them that enemies will come and burn down the city, level it to the ground. There'll be serious consequences for this rejection. The point is this. Beloved, he shares your nature. He shares in humanity, except without the sin, which is a pretty major exception. But he shared in your humanity. He shared in life on earth. And one aspect of the human condition that Christ entered into was this rejection from those that he loved. That he would have had, but they would not have him. And so here on earth, he was rejected, spurned, outcast, murdered, as they spat on him and beat him and mocked him. Whatever we say about the difficulties and the sorrow and the sadness of our own human experience, we look to Christ and we see that he drank that cup to the full. He drank the very last drop of that. And what does that mean? Well, it means this: when you go to Christ with a history of rejection or in the midst of present conflict, and you go to him and you lay out your heart before him, maybe in between sobs, getting a few words of prayer in, is that you can know this. This is what's so important. is to know that Christ understands by experience how you feel. He's not a remote and distant deity who, as the deists like to say, just kind of wound up the earth like a clock and then set it off and went off someplace else to, you know, and abandon things to his own. He knows by experience how you feel. Well, what now? What can we say to these things? We saw in the first section that we should expect trials in general. We saw in the second section that we should expect family trials in particular, or at the very least not to be surprised by them. Well, what now? What is it that helps us? How do we move forward in light of these things that we've been seeing? Well, let me start here, kind of in a little bridge, a transition here, before I lay out the third section. Is that the last chapter of this sad story in your life has not been written. God can still turn this around for good. God can still bring about change and bring about harmony. He's been doing this for millennia. He knows how to do it. If he tarries now in the process and leaves you on the outside, knocking on the door, trying to get in, and it seems like he's slow to answer the door, understand that the story's not over. There's still more to be said. There's still other chapters to be written, and maybe the future chapters will be more pleasant and more reconciled than the ones of the past. God can do that. He does that. After all, he is the one who said, right, that, you know, he causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There is a promise in the midst of this, my Christian friend, that you can go back to and lay hold of. As bad as this hurts, as much as I can't see any resolution, as hard as that person seems against me, God is still on the throne. God is still working out his purposes in my life. Christ did not die for me in vain. And take a deep breath and live for tomorrow, if today is too painful to bear. The last chapter hasn't been written. That brings us to our third section. And it is one of the blessings of staying in ministry in the same place over a number of years is seeing the blessing of people who were in the middle of that conflict, maybe a marriage that was on the brink of disaster, and seeing how God turned it, even if it was an unbelieving spouse. You know, there's a measure of reconciliation. We've seen that. We've watched that happen among people in our own church. You know, you look at that and say, well, maybe God would do that for me too. Thirdly, above all else, you should enter into the comfort of Christ. You should enter into the comfort of Christ. In other words, while these trials come and you expect them, and even in the most intimate of relationships, there's a response of hostility to you, understand this, is that even then you can and should enter into the comfort of Christ. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. I didn't read the final verse of that chapter. I did it deliberately to bring us back to here at this point in the message. In Matthew 10, verse 39, before I read the verse, let me just say this. Following Christ may cost you relationships, and following Christ may not fix the relationships that you would like, but it is not without reward. There is a surpassing blessing that is far better than any earthly relationship could ever be. Verse 39, Christ said, "He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." That in the midst of the conflict that Christ brings to us, and that discipleship costs us relationships along the course of life, there is this promise of Christ saying that there is a blessing from heaven. There is a blessing from His hand. There is intimacy with Him that is found nowhere else. And while we may not get the lesser treasure that on earth that we desire, there is a greater treasure in Christ that is worth the exchange. And we learn to value Christ supremely in our affections when we lose things in an earthly way. We find instead something even better in Him. It's better. You know, you'd like to have both, and sometimes the Lord gives us both. But the true disciple of Christ says, you know what? If the cost of having you is my earthly relationships, Lord, I will still follow you. You are that precious. Lord, you are the one who loved me and gave yourself up for my soul. These people that I have affection for here on earth, the best I can say about them, whatever else they did, they didn't do that. They didn't make me. They didn't fashion my days. They didn't shed their blood for my soul. It's not them that is keeping me. It's not them that will transition me from death into eternal life by nail-scarred hands. And you start to see, by contrast, the supremacy of Christ in a way that satisfies your heart like nothing else could do. And when He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," that means something. That means something. That means that the one that I love most and depend the most on and trust the most is never going to fail me. Earthly people may and will. He won't. And in that recognition of the glory of Christ, you find your life. You find your reason for living. And with that perspective, let me just give you a couple of kind of closing thoughts about the comfort of Christ. First of all, Christ sympathizes with you. Christ sympathizes with you in the midst of that broken relationship. And I think it's just so important for us to remember this and to dwell on it and focus on it for just a moment, because I know the tendency is for even, you know, tender-hearted Christians to say, maybe I'm being punished for something. Maybe the Lord's against me. You know, what did I do wrong here? And maybe, you know, all of this is just a punishment for things that I've done. And then added to the earthly hostility is a wrong-minded sense of hostility from God as well directed against you. And that really does become unbearable. Well, understand that if you are in Christ, if you have been born from above, born again by the Spirit of God, and Christ is in you and He has saved you by grace through faith alone, then the whole nature of your interaction, the whole nature of your position before God has utterly changed. And God is now, as I like to say, and I've said it many, many, many times, and I'll probably say it many, many more times, God is favorably disposed toward you. Christ came and gave His life on the cross, bore the wrath of God on your behalf because He loves you. Because He cares for you. Because He is full of mercy and kindness toward you. If you are in Christ, the last thing that you have to worry about is thinking that He's hostile to you based on something that you did in the past. He came to forgive you of your past. And the book of Hebrews couldn't be any more clear and emphatic about this. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 15, and if you are in the midst of unjustified hostility from those that are close to you, well, enter into the comfort of Christ and remember that He sympathizes with you. Verse 15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, here's the consequence of that. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And here you are in the midst of this hostility and the brokenness of it. And it's definitely a time of need, Christian friend. And you're in need of grace and mercy and wisdom. And what Scripture says to you is come near to Christ. Draw near to Him. Come to His Word and read it. Bow on your knees and pray to Him in response to His Word and recognize that in that there is sympathy, supernatural sympathy that will be mediated to your heart by the Holy Spirit. In other words, Christ is near you when love has not been returned to you. Secondly, Christ has covered you. You should enter into the comfort of Christ by remembering the fact that He sympathizes with you. And secondly, that he has covered you. Now, Christian friend, I realize that none of us are here blameless without sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And sometimes the way that we have fallen short has impacted the relationships. And maybe there is some consequence of what you have done that's contributed to it. Not assuming that, but that is the reality of life. Well, understand that even that, even where you've fallen short, does not hinder you from the comfort of Christ. It does not restrict you. The comfort of Christ isn't given to those who deserve it. The whole assumption of Scripture is we don't deserve it. Despite our undeserving, that comfort is available for the asking. Listen, let me remind you of something very basic. Christianity 101. If you are a Christian here today, Jesus Christ did not save you because you had lived well up until that point. Christ saved you precisely because you had not lived well, because you were a lawbreaker and a rebel against Him. He came to seek and to save the lost, the guilty. And so if He came in the midst of your guilt, if while you were an enemy, the logic of Scripture is, if while you were an enemy He loved you and gave Himself up for you, how much more now being reconciled to Him is His love and mercy freely available to you? This is inescapable. This is wonderful. Right now, I am experiencing the greatest privilege that could ever be given to any man is to announce such great mercies to to my fellow men on behalf of a wonderful Savior. This is the best news of all. Christ came to seek and to save the lost. And so, beloved, your hope, your comfort in Christ, listen, this is really, really important. This is really important. Your comfort is not that you have been righteous or that you can justify yourself over against the hostility that is being directed against you. Don't go there, because that's a waste of time. That's not where real comfort is. That just leads you to pride and bitterness if you're trying to justify yourself. That's not our comfort at all. Your comfort is not that you have been righteous. Your comfort is, watch this, your comfort is that Christ is righteous. It's not that you are good, it's that He is good. You see, your Heavenly Father accepts you without blame for the sake of His Son. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It's because you are in Christ that God accepts you and receives you. Yes, maybe you sinned and sinned greatly and you lost everything on account of that. Well, my friend, Christ has covered that. Christ has paid the price for it so that there is no barrier, there is no hindrance to you going immediately into the presence of God, calling out to Him and knowing that you are well received on behalf and in the name of Christ. These are wonderful truths. Don't justify yourself. Look to the One who justified you. And dwell on this. If God is for you, if Christ is for you, then who's against you? Weigh it out. Christ knows your past, and He's covered you with His shed blood and His righteousness. Christ knows the present and knows the pressure and the distressing nature of the circumstances. He knows all of that, and what? He's with you right in the midst of it. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And Christ knows the future. And after you've suffered a little while longer, He'll bring you home to heaven in Christ. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Receive you to myself, that you may be with me forever. John 14. So He's covered the past. He's with us in the present. He is preparing this and has ordained this wonderful future for those that are in Him. That's comfort. That's wonderful. That is an unchanging place, an unchanging anchor where your heart can go to rest. And so, the wonderful grace of Jesus is this, is that He receives broken-hearted sinners just like you, and that you can go to Him by faith and find a refuge. He knows when love hurts. He knows how love has hurt you. He knows how hatred has hurt you as well. And He offers the supreme thing in the universe to you as a free gift for your consolation. He offers Himself. You can have Christ in your sorrow. Scripture says, looking to Christ, it says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. My friend, the broken heart that you came into this room with can lead you even more deeply into the splendors of Christ. The nail-scarred hands from Calvary reach out to you in grace. Go to Him, my friends. Go to Him and lay hold of those hands by faith.
Well, that's a wonderful reminder of the heart-mending power of our great and glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, we're so thankful that you've spent this time studying God's wonderful Word with us, and we hope you'll join us again next time on The Truth Pulpit with Don Green. And Don, could you please share one or two principles that you'd like our listening family to come away with after this small but powerful series?
Well, Bill, I'd love to do that. And first of all, my friend, as you've listened to this broadcast, I just want you to know that we at the Truth Pulpit, we pray for you. We pray for our listeners, even though we don't know you by name. We're confident that God knows you and God cares about you and that He answers prayer. And so know that we care about you, even though it's from a little bit of a distance like this. As far as takeaways from this series, let me give you just two brief ones. First of all, we've seen that Scripture helps us look at life realistically. Painful trials will come to every one of us, even the most faithful of Christians, and that perspective helps. Secondly, we're not left to those trials alone. You have strength as a believer in Jesus Christ. He is with you always if you have turned to Him in humble, repentant faith. And my dear, dear friend, when earthly love hurts you, I encourage you to turn to Christ. He is a sympathetic friend who can soften all of your sorrow with His wonderful grace.
Thanks, Don. And friend, you can find out more about our ministry by going to thetruthpulpit.com. While you're there, you'll find a host of powerful study tools, along with all of Don's podcasts, so you can listen again or share with a friend. That's all at thetruthpulpit.com. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.